As more attacks take place overnight in Iran and in Israel, the ceasefire continues on.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. What an evening, to say the least. Since the last 24 hours since we've been on the air, it has been quite a journey. If you are looking at us going, you guys look a little tired. You look a little frazzled. You look a little, you know, it has been a lot to cover and a lot to keep up with. You know, we went to bed. I think for a lot of us, went to bed. Saw there was still some mild rocket firing, but we knew that the ceasefire was on the way. And then, again, President Trump made that big historic announcement saying, the war's over. We ended it. This should be called the 12-day war. Iran and Israel are at peace. And then, as we know, just a few hours later, the world changed once again. And when I woke up sometime around 5, 6 o'clock this morning, went to check my phone, the first thing I saw was a news alert. I think this was coming out of the Sky News. Said, if you're just waking up, a lot has happened overnight. And I was like, oh, no, and here we are. And President Trump said, hey, look, I think Israel and Iran both have violated this ceasefire already. And I'm going to get on the phone immediately and try to stop this. And that seems to be precisely what he did, was after getting in his helicopter in Marine One, getting on the phone with Bibi Netanyahu, because, of course, they were saying, hey, it just kept escalating. The ceasefire wasn't sticking, and therefore it was violated, so they're going at it. And with a few expletives here and there, President Trump said, it's time that this stops. And what it seems like, possibly, as of right now, that has worked. Will, what do you want to play here? I know you just...
This is actually from that little press gaggle that happened as President Trump was leaving the White House to go to Marine One on his way to Air Force One, where he's headed to a NATO summit. And this is where the press gotten up close to him, and we were able to stop him for a considerable amount of time. Yeah. But this is where a reporter asked if he believes that both sides violated the ceasefire. Let's roll bite three.
You urge both sides not to violate the ceasefire, but reports coming from the region suggest that the sides accuse each other for violating the ceasefire. So
I think
what
they both
violated
it. I'm not sure they did it intentionally. They couldn't rein people back. I don't like the fact that Israel went out this morning at all, and I'm going to see if I can stop it. So as soon as I get away from you, I'm going to see if I can stop it, okay?
Hey, I just want to let you know, if you're watching on YouTube right now, I know some of you may or may not be hearing me. We're addressing the issue as we speak right now. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We're going to do our best to get this sound issue fixed. If you're listening on the radio, though, or you're watching on Rumble or some of our other options, I'm not sure exactly, give us a call. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. It's an important time here in America to stay vigilant, to see what's going on. We hope. We know these Iranian missiles that came in did land in Israel. Some did kill citizens. Again, Israel went to go make an attack. We also did not play a clip from President Trump where it was a bit more expletive centered. You may have seen it already, so we thought you probably have already seen this clip where he said, you know, essentially they don't know what they're doing anymore. They've been fighting for so long that they don't know what they're doing. I understand Israel's point of view. I understand that this is not a war that's easy to be settled. But unfortunately, here we are. I think we all went to bed a little happy, a little breathing a sigh of relief. I saw a lot of people who are critical on President Trump's attacks of Iran actually saying, you know what, we were wrong. He was so quickly able to create a peace by doing this. And then chaos erupted once again. Now, what we're hoping is that this ceasefire now sticks and that we can move forward. But we're going to keep that conversation going. We're also going to talk about some of the work of the ACLJ a little bit later. And we're going to be joined by Jeff Balaban live from ACLJ Jerusalem. Now, obviously, they are dealing with a lot right now in Israel. So that connection, we know, is going to probably be on phone just due to what's going on and for his own safety and security. But you're not going to want to miss that because he's going to be giving you a live update of what's happening on the ground in Israel. Phone lines, like I said, are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. A very fragile military ceasefire. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. I do think we need to reset, as President Trump has called for Israel and Iran to, quote-unquote, calm down their, not only their rhetoric, calm down the response that, again, happened overnight. But I think we need to lead you through, because I know a lot of you just listen to this show. I see a lot of you even on the streets who come up to me and go, Logan, I saw someone at the dentist's office this morning. They go, I listen to your show, you give me what's needed, and then I go along with my day because I don't have the time or the energy to spend watching this 24/7. I know you're going to give me the latest updates from a legal point of view, from a constitutional point of view, and from a honest point of view, maybe most importantly. And look, we were up late last night. It was a chaotic 24 hours. So we went off the air yesterday before the ceasefire was announced, before President Trump had made that announcement. It was just seeming like a big moment where there was success. The facilities were taken out, and there was no response except for some minor response between Israel and Iran.
But as we were going off the air, we were getting word that the American embassy in Qatar was saying to shelter in place if you're an American, and there were reports that
that was yesterday.
Oh, it feels like Iran had launched some missiles in the direction of the U.S. air base in Qatar in Doha. And what ended up happening after that was that I believe they said around 13 or 14 ballistic missiles were fired from Iran at the U.S. air base. No one was injured. All of them were intercepted except for one that wasn't on target, and so they let it fly away, and it crashed somewhere without having any real issues or injuries. They said some minor damage from shrapnel and things after the interceptions to facilities, but nothing severe. So that happened. Iran did their response.
Yeah, we knew this was almost an orchestrated response.
Then we found out Iran called ahead and said, guess what? Here's what we're doing. Iran felt like they needed to show a response to the United States, but didn't want to escalate, knowing how severe that could be for them. Then later in the afternoon, President Trump announced that there was a ceasefire agreed to. We now know that that was brokered between the United States and Qatar to bring the Israelis and Iranians to a point of a ceasefire. And there was a timeline of 12 hours here. It was going to take a full day, effectively, to get the full ceasefire in place.
So many things had been already set in place or already moving. You want to give them time to be able to wrap up so they're not like, hey, ceasefire right now. And by the time it reaches someone, they've already launched a rocket. And unfortunately, you know, that ends your ceasefire. So they said, hey, you're going to give it a few hours, but Iran acknowledged it. Israel acknowledged it. After, because first President Trump did it before anybody acknowledged it. The other two countries acknowledged it. It seemed like everything was good. There was a sigh of relief last night as it felt like the World War III scenario that could have been unfolding was put to an end. And a lot of people were talking about it. Again, we go to sleep. And as we sleep, chaos breaks out.
That's right. There was a lot more attacks from both sides. Not a winding down kind of attack, but no. It seemed to
big
escalate.
Attacks.
There are some individuals in Israel were killed as it hit an apartment building, one of the Iranian missiles. Israel obviously struck back very hard against military sites in Iran. And as we woke up to the President of the United States, in one of the most raw moments I think we've ever seen from him, genuinely, you could feel the frustration and the language that came out is not
and the
typical.
Disappointment. The disappointment
on TV.
You could tell by him, because I think he thought going to sleep, it was probably going to be a very historic. We'd be writing about it in books. That is what they always say in the history books, because he said 12-day war, kind of started labeling it, saying, you know, we were the great peace broker. Here's how it ended. And then, of course, has to wake up to the fact that neither side really stopped. And if anything, it was escalating to a even further point.
Now, as the president is on Air Force One, headed to a NATO summit, I believe in Amsterdam, he was talking to reporters as it went. Leaving the White House, he said, I got to go handle this. And now we have this soundbite from Air Force One just a little bit prior to us going live today. Let's go ahead and roll bite 8. As it appears, he called the Israelis, and all reports are saying it was a pretty furious call with Bibi Netanyahu that the bombings escalated instead of winding down. But here is how President Trump is categorizing this ceasefire now. Let's roll bite 8.
Breaking news. Everything good? Israel, as you know, turned back. They didn't do that raid this morning, fortunately. That was a big thing. Appreciate it. They had a lot of planes going, and they were going to do something, and they didn't do it. We're happy about that. Very happy about that. So the ceasefire is very much in effect, and I think we're going to keep it there for a long time.
Things were going to keep it there for a long time. Of course, now if President Trump was able to use his negotiation skills and force, to be honest, to have Israel stop this, the question is, does it stop Iran? Who, again, we know President Trump has had a historically very good relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu. So to have a frustrated phone call is not going to necessarily end in some diplomatic war that could come up. Now, that is not the same when you're dealing with a decimated Iran. You're trying to fight back with an Ayatollah who is really the last man standing.
And I think what we need to be clear about here is that what President Trump wanted to achieve was take out the nuclear sites and not get the U.S. involved in a much broader war or a regime change conflict, which he said in another bite, and we can play later, that he's not looking for regime change in Iran. The objectives of the Israelis are very different. Because they can never have peace with the Iranian regime. The Iranian regime, they have a countdown clock, used to, got taken out by Israel, in the heart of Tehran, that was ticking down to when the Ayatollah said there would be no more Israel in 2040. So they are vehemently against each other, and a ceasefire is not going to be a peace deal. But I think what President Trump's objectives here are to stop the fighting as it is. If there is regime change, that would have to be from the Iranian people, not outside forces forcing that, according to our president. The Israelis know that they have Iran in a very interesting position. Their proxies are decimated. Hezbollah's leadership is dead. Hamas's leadership is dead. The Houthis have been sidelined to some degree because Iran is too busy focusing on their own military engagement instead of supplying the Houthis with the arms they need to continue attacking U.S. and Israeli interests. So they see an opportunity of Iran on the ropes. So now we do see conflicting policy between what President Trump wants and what the Israelis want.
Right.
How that plays out is what we're going to have to keep
and
an
I
eye
think
on.
Probably the President Trump is realizing that. The negotiating with these two parties, it's not always on the up and up. It doesn't always mean that you're getting what you think you're getting. Like you said, they have different motives. They have different end games. So what does that look like on a worldwide stage? I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. How do you feel waking up to this news? Do you think President Trump has made the right decision still? Some people are asking why we're not playing the infamous clip right now where President Trump used a significant profanity. Well, that is exactly the reason why. As you may not know, we are on terrestrial radio. So there's a lot of people who listen to this show via radio. We cannot play extreme profanity. And also, you've seen it. If you're asking about it, you've seen it. Go find it yourself. We know a lot of people listen with their families in the car and all that. But this is one of those moments where you can feel the frustration coming out of President Trump, knowing what he's dealing with here, which is not just not just governments that are always going to be on the up and up, and that Iran doesn't always say, doesn't always stick by what they say. I'd say historically they haven't. Historically, they haven't. Same with what goes on in Gaza and Hamas. You know, how many times have we had a ceasefire? It feels like a dozen at this point. And it doesn't last and it doesn't stick. Something always escalates it. Now you had one that just was historically short. Now a lot of people are asking about the terms of this ceasefire. I don't think those have been made readily available just yet. Is this a full time, long? He keeps saying long time. What does that mean? Does that mean they have they signed for years? Have they signed at all? Is this verbal? What is it? We don't know those details, but hopefully they'll come out over the next few days and we can actually see some peace and stability in the Middle East for at least a moment, not even the Middle East, because look, we know the war still rages on, but for between Iran and Israel, we hope that that can settle down because that is the one that could take us to places we don't necessarily want to go. But if pushed to, America may have to. Phone lines, again, are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I want to go through some of the things the ACLJ is doing on your behalf right now. As we know, Israel and Iran's entered in this very fragile ceasefire, but the world is still focused on what? Condemning Israel. You saw Iranian flags in the streets now. Lawfare, though, is coming. And after the smoke clears, literally and figuratively, the lawfare against Israel will be intense, and the ACLJ is there. It's why we're going to have Jeff Balaban on from ACLJ Jerusalem in a little bit. Jordan, my brother, just returned from the UN in Geneva and is working in Europe to engage and defend Israel. We just sent demand letters to the UN Secretary General and members of the UN Security Council today. We're going to be delivering those letters to the UN Human Rights Council, and we're preparing our next round of legal filings for next week. That's all legal work that we're doing, plus all of the media work that we are doing nonstop. And if you're able to, I'm going to encourage you to become an ACLJ champion, recurring monthly donor. Do that today at ACLJ.org. Again, these were rough nights, late nights for us. If you hear our voices going, if we feel a little disheveled today, just trust us that we are on top of everything that's going on, and we want to make sure you stay informed. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Stay tuned. In a little bit, we're heading over to Jerusalem with Jeff Balaban.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org. israelinstructs.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Once again, if you're having any issues on YouTube or any of our streaming platforms, we apologize. We are working on getting that fixed. This is how you know this show is live. That we are always doing this show each and every day, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1 p.m. Sometimes there's technical issues, but it is what it is. We're not going to belabor that because I know a lot of you watch later on the podcast feed, or you listen to a re-air on your local station. But again, we apologize for any technical issues that are going on right now. Of course, we are still discussing what was going on in Iran and Israel, but Will, there's also some other movements in the world of the ACLJ and also in the world of the Supreme Court. And I think we need to make sure that we address those because it's very easy to get caught up in these big global world affairs and kind of ignore. I mean, remember where we were just a week ago or a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about the riots in LA. We were talking about what was going on across this country. But things started to change. The news cycle moves. And now we are focused primarily on Israel and Iran and how the U.S. is involved. However, that doesn't mean the work here in the United States stops.
That's right. And we have a lot of things that we want to get to this week that the ACLJ is doing. Some things we'll be announcing tomorrow on the broadcast as well. But this is an interesting decision that came out of the Supreme Court. And I think a lot of people are looking at this wondering if this is going to foretell at all how the Supreme Court will rule on those universal injunctions issue. Remember, that was before the court just a few weeks back. Jordan was in D.C. with the Attorney General of West Virginia, who we worked with, representing them before the court in a brief, calling out these district court judges that are issuing these universal injunctions covering the entire country and trying to put a stop to the president's agenda through lawfare, effectively. But what came out last night from the court was a stay. They had stayed a district court's decision. It was an injunction placed by the lower court, by a district court judge in Boston, someone who had been actually only confirmed very late during the lame duck session after the November presidential election last year. He was confirmed in December, and he was blocking the president and the administration from deporting illegal immigrants to a third party country instead of back to their own home. Now, why would this matter? Well, when you look at some of the people that are picked up, like over the weekend, 11 criminal migrants that were here illegally from Iran, some former IRGC members. Do you think Iran is going to take back their illegal immigrants right now? Probably not. So sometimes if you want to deport them, you have agreements with other countries that they could go to instead of to their home country. The lower court blocked that and said, you can't do it, put in all these other stipulations to try and stop this. But it was appealed up to the Supreme Court by the administration. This is the Department of Homeland Security versus Murphy. And last night, they put out a stay, granting the stay on the injunction. It's almost like in Uno, like if you play a reverse card and then you play another reverse card, so it goes boom, boom, like that. That's what happens.
It's actually not in the rules.
Oh, you can't double reverse?
You can't double. There's a lot of conversation around this.
Oh.
So this is the hot topic I'd like to move into
today.
That's
always how I've played. I thought it was a good analogy,
Someone
Logan.
Needs to read the book that it comes with, because you can't double reverse. You can't reverse a reverse, and you certainly can't. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, in my way, we play Uno.
In your family's Uno.
So the district court reversed the administration.
Reverse,
and then
reverse.
The Supreme Court has now reversed that by placing a stay on that injunction. And what they are saying is that this stay will remain in place pending the disposition of the appeal in the United States District Court of Appeals for the First Circuit and the disposition of a petition for writ of cert at the Supreme Court. If cert is denied, so if the Supreme Court doesn't take the full case, the stay goes away and the district court remains in place. If it is granted, the stay shall terminate upon the final judgment of the court. This appears to be a 6-3 decision. It's an unsigned order. However, we can ascertain this from the three that wrote a dissent. That is Sotomayor, Kagan and Justice Jackson, the three more liberal members of the court, dissented, saying this is a terrible thing to issue this stay. But why does it matter broadly? One, right now, the Supreme Court has said that the Trump administration can move forward with deporting individuals to third party.
So it's not on hold.
But also the fact that they put a stay on a broad injunction like that could be telling how they may be ruling in the coming days. Because, by the way, Supreme Court term is coming up. It's ending soon. We will have a decision in that case within probably the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, they got to go on summer vacation.
That's right.
You know, it is weird that they have a summer vacation, thinking about it.
Right. Why?
Why do they have a summer vacation?
Why I understand in, like, the 1800s, maybe. Why?
Do you? Why?
I don't know.
They got to go back to feed them hogs?
Well, a lot of D.C. was out. That's why there were recesses.
Why do we give them these recesses?
It took so long to travel back if you're a representative in Kansas and you were going
Wells
by
Wells Fargo, Pony Express. Green unsigned orders.
Well, we've got this. We are looking forward for that case that we filed in representing the state of West Virginia on whether or not the Supreme Court will limit these very broad, universal injunctions that are being issued by district courts. We'll see how that plays out. But if this is an indicator, and people are always trying to divine things out of other issues that the Supreme Court hands down, but if this is any indicator, it could seem that they are right to put a limit on these universal injunctions.
People think we're fighting again because of the UNO.
That was fun.
No, they said they're having these spats. It's because in real life they fight.
Actually, not.
Yeah, we fight more on the show than we do in real life. Reverse.
We've also never played UNO together, to my knowledge.
Ever?
So.
I play a lot of UNO.
But I don't know that you and I have ever played UNO.
I play mainly with the children.
Right. I don't think you and I play a lot of
UNO. We don't like have like man night. We're like, what do you want to do? I don't know. You want to
two-person UNO.
Fancy a game of UNO? All right, we got 2 minutes left in this first half hour. If you're on hold, I'm going to get to you, Doyle and Doug. I like Doyle and Doug. That's a good morning show there. It's like Unsigned Order. Uh-huh. Unsigned Order is the name of my Christian metal band. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We are going to continue discussion, obviously, about the war, lack of war, the more war, the ceasefire 2, the ceasefire 3 that is happening currently between Iran, Israel, the United States of America. We're going to make sure we don't miss any of that. You've heard about all the legal work we're doing. Will just gave you a lot of information about what's going on with our case representing West Virginia. But again, that legal work doesn't happen. This show doesn't happen. I can't look in the control room and see a dozen people working on this, working on it all morning, all night. Because again, we know that a lot of you tune in, not just for our coverage of what's going on in the ACLJ. We know you tune in a lot to hear about what's going on in the news and to get our expert opinions from some of our incredible team members. None of that happens without you. If you hear an ad on your local station, it's not going to us. That's going to the local station. If you think there's other ways the ACLJ is funded, not even close. Probably less than 0.5% comes through from any other ways other than individual donors. People that give one time a year or give on a monthly basis automatically. It's really easy to do that. It's at ACLJ.org. My goal is to always keep this content outside of a paywall. I think we need to share this content. I think people need to see this. And if we create a paywall, we create an echo chamber. We're not doing that here at the ACLJ. We're not doing that here with this show. Share it with your friends. Go to ACLJ.org. Over 500,001 of you have subscribed.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Will Haynes joining us in the next segment. Jeff Balaban will be joining us live from ACLJ Jerusalem. Again, that's probably going to be on the phone. We want to make sure we're protecting his safety and also getting a good connection right now, as you can imagine, is easier said than done. So stay tuned for that, because he's going to give you an on-the-ground feel on what's happening in Israel, because overnight, the ceasefire was broken. Now, allegedly, the ceasefire is back. How long it lasts? President Trump thinks it's going to last for a long time, but of course, that's what he said last night as well, and it quickly devolved. I want to make sure that we are covering as much as we can and giving you all the latest updates. President Trump has just landed recently, I believe, at the NATO summit, or is about to be there. Probably couldn't happen at a more interesting time, as he's going to be meeting with top dignitaries from around the world, including even Zelensky and some of these others he's talked about meeting with. There's a lot of conflicts in the world right now. It's pretty easy to get distracted by one of them and forget that the others are still happening. And also, there's a heat wave that has hit the East Coast and the South that has been extreme. So a lot of people are dealing with that. Power outages, air conditioning outages. So there's a lot going on in America as well. The attacks that happened on the streets in Colorado. You had the protests in L.A. It's a lot of, I think someone said, it's a lot of once-in-a-lifetime events that seem to all be crescendoing now to this moment. Now, what does that mean? We were all going to bed a little happy, a little bit breathing a sigh of relief. It seemed like President Trump had done one of the most unthinkable things, which was just to go take out the nuke facilities and create a ceasefire, peace, between Israel and Iran. Did not last very long. However, President Trump means business. Next morning, woke up, said, I'm going to go handle this. And as of right now, as we're doing this live, no guarantees you're listening to this later on, but if you're listening to this between noon and 1 p.m. Eastern time, as of right now, there is some calm. And we have a couple minutes left in this segment before we're going to head over to Israel. And I want you to give us a call and get in line. Again, Doug and Doyle, I'll get to you, but I have a few more lines open, and I really would love to hear from you, your thoughts on all of this. If we've seen a stronger rhetoric coming from President Trump saying, kind of, I'm sick of both sides here. They need to figure this out. And we're not just going to take this as, yeah, sure, these ceasefires don't hold in the Middle East. But precisely that is what happens. How many times have we heard ceasefire in Gaza? How many times have we heard ceasefire in Israel? How many times have we heard it between Russia and Ukraine? It feels like those words are just thrown around these days. But it feels like the Trump administration is not just going to take this as temporary reprieve.
That's right. And it seems that the president is very serious. It sounds like strong words with the prime minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. And we are now seeing relative calm for now. I do think to some degree, the long-lasting ceasefires and long-lasting peace, I don't think we can call it peace, because there will never be peace between the Islamic Republic of Iran and Israel, because the doctrine of the Islamic Republic of Iran is to destroy Israel. So while there may not be hostilities or open bombing campaigns or ballistic missiles fired at civilian centers in Israel by Iran, while that may last, the only true way for peace between Israel and the people of Iran is for new leadership. That is something that President Trump isn't interested in the U.S. pursuing. U.S.-backed regime change. Now, the people of Iran have an opportunity here. Their leadership in the military and the IRGC are decimated. The Ayatollah is in hiding. They have a real opportunity for real change in the country of Iran and bring back the pride of the region that the Persian people had displayed for so long. And we will see what happens, but the window, especially with ceasefire and hostilities, maybe closing for the Iranian people if they choose to move forward with that.
Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And the next step, we're going to be heading to Jerusalem, the ACLJ Jerusalem office, with Jeff Balaban. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We're going to head over to Jerusalem, and as I told you, you never know what could go wrong or happen. Right now, we're having some issues connecting with Jeff Balaban, our head of ACLJ Jerusalem. But I want you to understand why it's important that we're there, because there are moments like this where America is directly involved in what's going on in Israel and, of course, now in Iran. And if you want to hear, you want to make sure your voice is heard in Israel, not only if it's a support, but even if you have a disagreement, look, right now you have a administration, the Netanyahu administration, that may be a little bit more conservative, if you will, a little more right wing in the Israeli point of view. But look, just like America, that changes overnight, it feels like, in Israel. You have a lot of different governments, and the way they even elect a president, very different prime ministers and all of the things that get involved in Israel. And that's why it's important we have our office. And we were founding the ACLJ Jerusalem. And we have the European Center, where my brother is right now. And the European Center is the European Center for Law and Justice, the ECLJ. And we thought, well, should this be the ICLJ? Should this be an Israeli version where we're trying to get our sort of worldview and values also into the law in Israel? And the idea was to change that and say, no. What we really need is an office representing American values. American Christian values, sure. Judeo-Christian values in Israel, and to make sure that the voice of the American people is heard throughout the country, whether, again, you had a positive administration or not. So right now, sure, we can't connect with Jeff Balaban. That's not fun. I really wish we could. Hopefully we'll be able to before the end of the show. But you can understand why there's some issues right now. Okay, it's not like it's all easy. It is a very tough time. The Americans were pretty much told to leave, but Jeff remained. As someone who is a dual citizen, I'm sure is he a dual citizen? I believe he, I'm not sure if he's a dual citizen or not. But as someone who spends a lot of time in Israel, it is part of him as well. It is home as well for a lot of them. So, we have the ACLJ Jerusalem. We're going to continue to try to get to Jeff. If we don't get to him, I apologize. We're going to do our best though.
And another thing, when you talk about even the differences with an ICLJ, if it were the Israeli Center for Law and Justice, and the American Center for Law and Justice, is also because, even as you mentioned, not only is the political system there very different, but even the types of, when you consider what's more conservative and more liberal,
very different,
completely different. So being able to even navigate between what conservatives in Israel how they can talk with and understand conservatives in America. Things of that nature, which are important if you're wanting dialogue between allies, of how can we talk so that we understand what each other's goals are and what the meaning there is. And you know, we're also starting to see some very interesting things come out of the conservative right here in the United States. And I put conservative in quotes there, but definitely on the political right. But we're now starting to see some of the people that we criticized earlier in the week about how they were pushing back against President Trump, saying it'd be the end of his presidency, the end of his legacy, if he were to bomb Iran. But I'm starting to see statements by some of those same people that are calling back to things that, if you were to ask them, be like, did you believe in and support the Obama administration? Because there was one today that said, maybe we need regime change in Israel. And that's exactly what the ACLJ uncovered that the Obama administration was doing, interfering in elections abroad. The United States was funding the son of Mahmoud Abbas, that he's the head of Fatah, of the Palestinian Authority, was funding his son, who had a group within Israel trying to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. That was the U.S. State Department funding regime change, election interference in an ally's election. And yet the Democrats were the ones that cried, Russia, 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 they're interfering our elections. This is a horrible for democracy, when that is what the Obama administration was doing. And now we're seeing people on the political right in America calling for that same thing. Are they big fans of Barack Obama? Do they want another Barack Obama presidency? Because that's what we're now starting to see. And that is the sickness that anti-Semitism, anti-Israel policy has seeped in to the conservative right. And we have to speak out against that. That's not something I'm okay with.
Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Doyle, who's calling on line 3. Doyle, you're on the air.
Hello, young man. Yeah, you know, I agree with everything that Trump is doing. He reminds me of Ronald Reagan. When he tells someone he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's not going to hesitate and wait 3 years and then be wishy-washy about it. It's going to happen. And, you know, I think by bombing the nuclear sites in Iran, he protected the West Coast. He protected all the Western civilization by taking out their nuclear sites. People think he just went against Palestinians, but he went against the world. He went out there to help the world.
Thank you so much, Doyle, for calling in. I think a lot of people feel similarly. Of course, it's probably one of the most contentious times, as you said, Will, though, where people aren't falling necessarily in a party line, because a lot of people voted for President Trump to not get us involved in wars. You saw what I would even say is that group that came over, whether that was when they considered the Avengers, when they said it was RFK and Tulsi and who else was on there? Elon, even for that matter, or this whole group of people, Vivek, that were sort of outsiders to the traditional Republican Party. A lot of them came over for the point of view of saying, we don't want to get involved in war. Now, what we hoped last night was that, you can do strategic military action and then stay out of a global war. Last night, it was not feeling that way overnight, but hopefully it's settled down now. Now, a lot of you are asking a lot of the same questions. I'm going to encourage you right now, because there's thousands of you watching, to give me a call. We have 5 lines open right now. This is a great time to get your question answered, or if you have a statement you want to make. Maybe it's about the ACLJ, maybe it's the ACLJ Jerusalem. Maybe it is about the topic of the day, or maybe the Supreme Court ruling. Whatever it is, I'd love to hear from you right now. It's a great time to call in. We'll take as many calls as we can in the next segment at 1-800-684-3110. Maybe people are going to want to know maybe the guy who created Uno can call it. Maybe he's listening.
Yeah, because we don't have the rule book on hand.
No.
But it would be nice to know, because I thought you could reverse.
What do you guys think in the comments? Can you reverse a reverse on Uno? That's the top question of the day. Let's go ahead and take another call. And then give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. We're about to have six lines open. I need you to call in. Doug in Colorado, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
We've got
yes,
you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Listen, as far as a ceasefire, as far as you know, the situation, and I want to preface it with this. I wholeheartedly agree with what Trump and Netanyahu has done, but there's not going to be any meaningful ceasefire until there's regime change in Iran, but I think that has to come from within Iran. And the Crown Prince has been interviewed many times. He's got some great interviews out there. He's been in exile, of course, 40-plus years. He says he's willing to step in as the interim leader, and he's also willing to step in as a leader if the Iranian people want him to be. The Iranian people have to step up, and I'm wondering someone like Maryam Rajavi, the resistance leader, or someone of this ilk, if it's possible that the Iranian people are willing to step up, because he thinks they are.
Look, I think the Iranian people have tried. And I think we got to remember a lot of what's happened over the last 20 years or so, even 10 years. This isn't the first time where Iran has had the opportunity to rise up. But unfortunately, it seems like it gets pushed back.
What I feel like is a little different this time, if the opportunity is there, is that those previous times, the IRGC and the Iranian military and the Ayatollahs were at their strongest almost when these movements started to happen. It was after major crackdowns when they were even just when they were arresting people, executing them for not wearing their hijab correctly. But what is different now is how much of the leadership have been taken out by airstrikes from Israel, that they are weakened internally. If the people can find their voice, can take to the streets, and can seize that moment. And I agree with the caller. There will never be meaningful peace with Iran while that leadership is in power, because they are a theocratic, genocidal death cult. And they have no real dreams of peace with the world. They have dreams of controlling the world by ushering in the 12th Imam, which is a core tenet of their version of Shia Islam. So they don't want peace. They want world domination, and they think destroying Israel is their way to get there. So ceasefire may be more peaceful, but it is not peace until that regime is gone. And that's what hopefully the Iranian people can bring about.
All right, phone lines are filling up right now. You answered the call, 1-800-684-3110, but some of these won't make it up, so keep calling. Again, support the work of the ACLJ, but in the next segment, my goal is to take as many calls as I can, as I love hearing from you to wrap up this show. We do have one line open still, 1-800-684-3110. And while you wait, go over to ACLJ.org, see the incredible content that's there, and be a part of the team right now.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Remember in the last segment where I said, all the phone lines are full? Guess what? They're not. I don't know what happened, but we lost all of them but Edwin. So you know what, Edwin? I'm going to take your call. Feel free to be long-winded. And 1-800-684-3110. Last chance to get on the air. I'd love to hear from you. If you tried to call and it didn't work, call back. 1-800-684-3110. Edwin in New York. You know, sometimes there's these just technical difficulty days, and this is definitely one of them. Edwin, go ahead.
Thank you again. Yes, calling from the east end of Long Island. After listening to your shows, hours of your shows, hundreds of hours, and watching Trump rallies, it is really my firm belief that Trump has held to his promise, even in this military action, that I didn't start any new wars, but I will help an ally help finish it, which is for the safety, the security of our country, and even for the world. And that's my statement. Thank you for taking my call. Continue to do your work. God bless you all, and get home safe.
Edwin, thank you so much. We appreciate it. I really do appreciate you giving us a call. And look, I think we need to always show, too, that they're supporters of what you do and your beliefs all over the country. So, you know, Edwin's calling from Long Island. You may think this is an area that you're not sure how they feel politically, but Edwin is representing a ton of people in all of these states who really do believe that. And I think you're right that this is not the start of a new war. This is certainly not a new war. This is a war that's been going on for millennia. However, it may be a new engagement. Now, look, I think you have to start kind of looking at what the difference is between those military engagements and a war, but a little bit different. Sure, we helped out an ally, but we also helped out an ally by sending, you know, our boys, as Pete Hegseth said, our men and women in military to fly over with those B-2 bombers and take care of it. It wasn't just like we've done in Ukraine. It wasn't supplying weapons. It was actually supplying, you know, we'll say boots in the air.
Boots in the air. I like that term. But to Edwin's point, yes, I think you're exactly right. I think President Trump is holding true to that promise. And it is ironic at best that so many on the left are now calling for impeachment of President Trump over limited military engagement when everyone has seen the lists now of how many different countries Joe Biden bombed without getting congressional approval, how many different countries Barack Obama bombed without getting congressional approval, including Libya and Syria and all these places. And those weren't considered us getting into a new war by the left. But now they're saying President Trump is dragging us into a new war with Iran, and therefore he must be impeached because he didn't seek congressional approval first. Unfortunately for them, they can't have it both ways in what we're seeing here. But I also think that that is a little bit of the difficulty for those of us that have been studying Iran for a long time, know their ideology, know the conflict between Israel and Iran. They aren't a rational nation. It's not rational leadership. They have a goal of death to America and death to Israel. So, yes, great, decimating their nuclear program and ensuring that they never rebuild that keeps them in check. And I think that is President Trump's goal. Israel has a different goal with Iran. They want the Ayatollah gone. They want the Islamic Republic of Iran to be gone. They want the Iranian people to be the Republic of Iran or whatever follows from that, where it is no longer a theocratic dictatorship that calls for the destruction of Israel. And we pray that that happens one way or the other.
All right, let's go to Candy in Georgia. Candy, you are on the air.
Hello. Okay, two things. Well, first thing, President Trump, being a new believer, doesn't understand. He, as best as he's trying, he can't make peace in the world. Only Jesus can do that. But I think he should allow Israel to finish the job that they started because they're in danger if they don't get rid of the Ayatollah and stuff. Even though I want to see people saved, there are times when people get so hardened in heart, they won't get saved.
Yeah, Candy, I appreciate your comments. I think some people feel that way, that Israel should be able to go in and do what they need to do to end this regime. However, that hasn't been necessarily the policy of the United States of America. It hasn't been the wants of a lot of people in America. They don't want to see us getting involved in such an extreme conflict because that will up the ante. Iran's got a lot of big friends, and their big friends are ones you don't necessarily want to get into a global conflict with. We're talking about China. We're talking about potentially Russia. You're talking about some major superpowers who do have military, who can take real action. So, Candy, while I understand your point of view, I don't necessarily totally disagree with it. There is strategy involved, and we got to make sure that we cover that. I also, and I appreciate your call, and thank you for calling from Georgia. There are a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get to some more. Will, there was a YouTube comment from Sherry.
That's right.
Sherry said, I'm 65, which I think that was helpful because, you know what, I give her a little bit more credit. She's been playing this game for a while.
Yeah, she knows.
She said she has four copies of the Uno rules, which I feel like
a little excessive.
That is like, you know, what are you doing with these?
Right.
Are we hiding the, like the Constitution?
I lose copies of rules immediately opening the package of a game.
She has four. They're probably laminated. Maybe they're on her wall, like a prayer. You know, you put up, prayer of Jabez. She has the rules of Uno. No?
I don't think so.
She said, the reverse can be played on the reverse. It's even in the example of play. The only exception of sorts is in a two-player game where the play of a reverse acts only as a skip because you can't go the other way.
Ah.
So you know what? I will admit when I'm wrong.
Fake
Some
news
Some people
Logan
don't
over
admit
here.
When they're wrong. And you know what? I haven't checked your facts. You could be lying to me right now. But I'm going to trust you that you are, number one, 65 years old, that you have four copies of this, and that you know your thing. You know, but I think everyone's got at-home rules, different rules for Uno.
That's not how you play games.
You kind of
do. You have rules.
Everyone's got their own rules. Like Scrabble. It's like, can you also play words in Spanish?
No.
Sometimes I do.
No. You can't do that.
Hola.
Logan, you don't know Spanish words.
I know a dozen.
Okay.
I can count to 10 plus hola. Andrew, that's 11. You're on the air.
All right. Here's my thing. I'm looking at the Middle East, which is primarily Islamic. Iraq and Iran are both Islam.
True.
Okay? In order to get a regime change, you need to change the heart of the people. I can't see that being done, being that Islam has such a hold on the Middle East.
Andrew, I'll push back a little bit on that. And that is that the people in Iran have, especially the people historically, we're talking about more than 40 years ago now. If we go back 40 years, were not this extremist. Yes, they were Muslims. They were Islamic, but they weren't Islamists in this sense. They weren't necessarily this sort of global terror version of, distorted version of the religion.
Well, and Iran itself had a multicultural society.
Thriving Jewish community, thriving
Baha'i
Christian
community. A lot. There's a large immigrant community of Iranian Persian Baha'i that live in the Nashville area because they fled the persecution.
Yeah, exile.
And when the great Persian Empire was known for its multiculturalism and not being a theocratic state, and that is what the Islamic Revolution tore down in many ways. And so we've seen the repercussions of that when, to your point, Andrew, the theocrats that are genocidal and want to destroy Israel took power, and that has been their goal since 1979. Yeah. And they are continuing to this day.
All right. Thank you so much for supporting this show, listening, watching, and really just engaging with us. We appreciate it each and every day. I know there's technical issues today, but you know what? That just proves that we're live. We're doing this for you regardless. And we can't do it without you. So I'm encouraging you right now. Just go to aclj.org, support the work. We'll talk to you tomorrow and more on Seculo.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.